afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Thursday, September the 10th, 2015. It is the day of the Popcorn Festival Parade, and boy, are we having a good time. And as you can see, for those on television, for those on radio, I guess they can't see, but those watching this on television, you can see joining me to my right is a character who for so many years, 40 years now,
40 years
has brought us so much entertainment and joy and education right along with his pal Fred Rogers. He was here in February, and we cannot thank him enough for coming back in September to ride in the popcorn parade with us tonight and be on with us the next 2 days. He is David Newell in real life, but dressed today as Mr. McFeely.
Speedy delivery, Scott. Let me shake your hand.
Yes, it's good to see you.
Here we are, and I am looking forward to the parade, and I am not someone. I am the real, the authentic Mr. McFeely, and I hope people watching this and listening to your station will show up tonight and wave. Then afterwards, I think we're going to meet for a little bit, right?
We will go right back downtown. What we'll do is we'll get rid of the float. We'll bring the float back here, enough to jump in the car, go right back down, and we'll be in front of Shamrock Insurance, and Mr. McFeely can sign autographs.
Okay. And is that right in the middle of downtown?
Right in the middle, right next to the main stage where the big entertainment will be going on tonight.
Okay. Well, we'll be there for about an hour, and then tonight.
Yes, just 1 hour tonight. So 8 to 9 tonight.
So stop by. Those of you who grew up with Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and say hello. I have a picture I brought with me, and I'll give everybody a picture, an autograph, get some for your kids, grandkids, friends, neighbors, whatever.
Absolutely. It's going to be a lot of fun. I should mention also Charlie Evers is with us. Charlie, how are you?
Hey, just fine. And it's a pleasure to be here beside Mr. McFeely. And I was looking to see if you had one of those little films that we could put in picture.
Not today, I don't. Not today. But but maybe we can make one for the parade tonight. There's we all sit with the, I think we were having a little sound problem here, right?
We were having a little, I was trying to direct from the chair over here while the camera wasn't on me.
But now we're back
you were good, I was too high.
Okay.
Yes, but I think we're good now. We're not going into the bad area, are we? Okay. So, people listening at home, Mr. McFeely is with us. Mr. McFeely, one thing I wanted to talk to you about was the difference between David Newell and Mr. McFeely, because I the other night I pulled out the documentary again that you were so nice to leave here back in February, Speedy Delivery.
That's right.
And you talk about the differences not being so many.
That's right. I feel over the years I've grown into the character of Mr. McFeely, but Fred Rogers, who wrote his own material, he read all the scripts, he knew me too, and he knew my hobbies, and he knew what I liked to do, and he would sort of tailor the script from David Newell into Mr. McFeely. For instance, we have time for instance.
Go right ahead.
We did a flea market. I love going to flea markets and seeing what's out there. And so we had a film we made. And Charlie, you were just talking about the films.
Right.
And we did a film of Mr. McFeely goes to a flea market. And I had a little pickup truck and drove in and set up my wares. And we actually sold some things during the filming. So, yes, David Newell's very much close to Mr. McFeely and vice versa.
As I remember the last time you were here, we talked about, is Mr. McFeely, is he a person, what would you say, when he goes home at night, where does he go?
He goes to his wife, whose name is Betsy, and there's, over the years, we've had three children who played the McFeely grandchildren. So there's a family of sorts. And so sometimes there is a scene at Mr. McFeely's house. Mr. Rogers comes over and I show him a film that I've taken. And these on an old projector that I had. And, you know, it's but now I guess I put it in the DVD. No, now I would download it or something.
Whole different world.
A whole different world. But there is something very romantic about a movie projector that downloading just doesn't have if you've grown up with it. So are we having video
problems? No, I think we're okay now, aren't we? Yeah, we worked it out.
Okay. Did I hear all of that story?
We heard everything, okay. Right? The sound was okay, and the video, I think, is going okay over there.
Okay.
You know what, Charlie? I might let you jump over here for a second. I'm going to try to fix that. Charlie, okay. Come on over here. For the radio audience, it's going fine. for the people who might see this on television, it might be a little problematic. So Charlie's going to jump into this seat and talk with David here for a little bit, and I'm going to come back in just a minute.
Okay.
Go ahead, Charlie.
Changing the guards.
Yes.
Now here's Charlie after many years on radio, right?
Right.
You're here at Warren Harding Station.
Right. And my daughter, who's over 50 now, she doesn't like the fact that, or doesn't like to admit it, but still, we watched Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood when she was growing up, and she'll be there tonight.
Oh,
and
good.
Certainly hope she gets a chance to meet you.
Well, if not, maybe she can come out here tomorrow. We'll be doing a program in the morning.
That's right, we will, yeah.
And anybody who wants to come out to the station today, we'll be here till 4, right? That's what I understand.
Right.
And then we're going to go down to the parade area.
Yes. Do we have a phone call? Okay, I better use earphones here to see who's calling.
Okay.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Charlie. How are you today?
Well, just fine.
Hey, I just want to say hi to Mr. McFeely again.
Okay, yeah, we need him. Okay,
oh, I'll just say, why don't we just switch? You take that one, and I'll take this one.
Just a second, Fred.
All right, no problem.
Is our caller's name Fred?
Yes, Fred Malone. He's past president of the Marion County Historical Society.
Oh, Fred, I'm on the earphones now.
Fred, I can't hear you. My earphone
doesn't quite reach.
Has a short cord, you might say.
Not a problem. I had a chance to meet you back in February and had a chance to sit there with you and talk a little bit.
Yes.
When you came the last time. So yes. I just wanted to say hi.
Well, hello.
And welcome back to Marion. I'm certainly glad that you fit this into your busy schedule, and I think you'll really enjoy the Popcorn Festival tonight.
I've heard so much about it. Also, when I was here in February, I guess you remember, it was so cold.
It was bitterly cold, yeah.
Bitterly cold, and I remember driving the turnpike from Pittsburgh, and mm-hmm. I would, the truck would pass me, and my windshield would get all dirty, and I would put the windshield washers on, and they would freeze immediately.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So
absolutely.
It was really tough driving, but today it's a beautiful day in your neighborhood.
Beautiful, absolutely. Well, listen, I hope you have a good visit, and I hope to get a chance to see you while you're here.
Why don't you stop out tomorrow?
I will try to do that, yes.
But as Scott said, tonight we're going to be in front of the... a certain building downtown.
Shamrock Insurance.
Shamrock Insurance.
Across from the main stage.
Yep, I know right where it is. Well, I'm on my way to Malabar Farm right now for a board meeting, and if I get back in time, I will certainly make a stop down there.
You're going where?
To
where?
To Malabar Farm.
Oh, okay, and that's you're on the board.
Yes, on the board there, right.
Well, wonderful.
And we have a meeting today, and... But if you have an opportunity while you're in Marion today and tomorrow, try to have Scott get you over to see the Popcorn Museum at the Heritage Hall.
Oh, I didn't know there was one. Okay.
Oh, my word, yes. It's the largest one of its kind in the world.
Popcorn, you know, do you have 1 second?
Sure,
Did you know that Fred Rogers was a fan of popcorn?
Is that right?
Yeah, we had in our office, by his direction, a microwave. So every day he could have popcorn, and the staff had popcorn. But some people liked it popped medium, and some liked it a little charred. So there was always a discussion. But if you listen, I'll tell you a little story about popcorn later on. But I hope you'll come out and tell your friends to come out. Tell everybody at where you're going. Now, one more time, the name of the place where you're going to your board meeting?
Malabar Farm. It was the home of Louis Brumfield, who was a world-famous author back in the 30s and 40s.
Malabar, and what do they do, Malabar Farms?
Well, it's a state park now. It was his private home. He had a 32-room home there, and we have 940 acres. It's the only state park in Ohio that's a working farm as well.
That's wonderful.
It's a beautiful place, absolutely beautiful place. We have woods and trails and all kinds of things for people to do.
Well, next time I'm going to have much time this time, but I'd like to see that. But in the meantime, we have our original host is now back. Scott is back. He has been. He plays many roles here.
Oh, he does.
Engineer, announcer,
director.
So we're televising this, and I've been looking away and holding this earphones up to my ear, and I think I'm blocking everything. But you have to go to your board meeting, so it's nice for you to call in and tell everybody I said hello at the farms.
I'll do that, and I'll try to catch up with you while you're here.
Oh, great. Okay, speedy delivery. Okay.
Thank you, Fred.
Bye-bye now.
Okay. And we're back here. And I think we do have the problem fixed as far as video goes, and thank goodness. But, you know, they've been getting one good radio show, that's for sure. If nothing else, they're getting one good radio show.
Digital editing.
The edge. Now this brings up an interesting point. When you were filming Mr. Rogers for television all those years, tell us about some mishaps that happened.
Oh boy, mishaps with tape or with.
With tape, with things on the set. You know, the fan fell down a few minutes ago.
Well, we had one time. We never used it. We couldn't use the segment. We had a visit from a zoo person who brought in. A chimpanzee, and the chimpanzee, when the light turned the lights on during rehearsal, it was fine, but during taping, they turned the lights on, and the chimpanzee just freaked out and and went bounding about the studio, swinging off the light bars, pulling out the plastic trees, and ending up biting Mrs. McFeely. So we couldn't use that segment. That was one segment.
I bet not.
But it does exist in outtakes, though.
Did you keep everything like that? The B-roll.
We kept a lot of it. Some of it wasn't worth keeping. But yes, we did. We even have a outtake reel.
You know, it was interesting. What I found so fascinating about the Speedy Delivery documentary, you have the first episode, 1968 National, of Mr. Rogers. Now, who kept that? Because there are episodes of The Tonight Show that don't exist.
We made it one of the reasons I think we had to keep it was in the days of public television, the early days, the shows were bicycled. That meant there a week of shows on tape would be shown in the East Coast. And then they might bicycle them, so to speak, to the West Coast. And by the time it got to Hawaii, it was 3 weeks later. So they kept those tapes. So I have, now I've since given it to the Fred Rogers Center, I have the first week of programs on 2-inch black and white tape. 2-inch means it's like an oil lamp.
Is that?
I think we've gone out on television again.
We've gone out, but we're just going to track along. Mess with the cords over there because we're out. We need a monitor for you. Yeah, flip back on the long.
There we go. We almost had it.
We're trying to come.
We're having
back
a lot of fun here, folks, with television. See how easy radio is.
See, radio. We just keep going. That's live.
Right.
And we just keep going along. There. Yeah, we're back on that shot.
Well, now we're blue again.
We're blue again.
Now here we are.
Thank goodness we're doing more than 1 hour.
Oh,
we'll
we are.
Put this
okay.
all back together.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll be able to edit some of this together.
Well, maybe we can
on.
Tell one of those stories over again.
Well, the chimpanzee story was very good.
We got that one?
Yeah.
We're off again. But I thought when we're on again, television, ask me about the popcorn story.
I will do that.
And that because it relates to what we're doing this weekend.
You know, as far as parades and things go, since the television series ended, what have you been up to?
Oh, boy, I've been up to a lot. I've been trying to write, well, first of all, when the series ended, we made the Speedy Delivery documentary, which took a good 8 months by the time they got it all together. Then I've been doing a lot of traveling. I have been visiting, as David Newell, out of my costume, doing speeches, too, about my years of working on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And then I'm trying to put a book together with little anecdotes, and I might call that Speedy Delivery, too, just like the Popcorn Festival.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Do you like getting in the rig here? Do you like getting in the outfit?
Yeah, once I'm in it, I'm fine. It's just
starting the process. It's on a warm day, it could be, it's very uncomfortable. That's why I asked her earlier, is it 90 degrees in this area?
We lucked out today.
Yes, we did, because Pittsburgh, where we taped the show and we have our offices, it's been 90, 91, 92 with that famous humidity the East Coast has. So, and you can't stay in a costume very long. One time, I was in a parade in South Carolina, and I was feeling the heat, but I had with me somebody in the purple panda costume. We had a panda on the show who's purple. And I took the costume with me in a parade, and panda wasn't waving after a while. And I said, well, now, panda, just wave. You don't have to. Just wave. And no, nothing. So they stopped the car and opened it, and panda went, floop. Panda had passed out in the suit. So that's the curse of hot weather and a costume.
Oh, I can't imagine. You know, when you put on something like that, does it change your attitude? Does it change how you feel? Does it change your emotions?
It does somewhat, yes. Because I think you have to remember what you're representing with that costume on. You're representing Fred Rogers and his philosophy, and you're representing what you're conveying to children through television or just meeting and greeting. So yeah, it does. But it brings out the child in me too, in a way, in relating to a child one to one, I think.
When I'm talking to you like this, am I talking to David or am I talking to Mr. McFeely?
I think you're talking to David with a Mr. McFeely costume on.
Now if I were talking to Mr. McFeely, what would be the difference?
I guess there would be lines.
Mr. McFeely's written.
Yes.
Yeah.
That there would be lines that Fred would write for Mr. McFeely, a story of some sort of something that Mr. McFeely just did coming back and telling Mr. Rogers what he just did. So it'd be a little more hyper. I think that would be the difference.
Yeah.
And there would be, to a point, there would be a point that I have to get to because the lines are led on to the next segment, et cetera, et cetera.
I know, Charlie, you're a great fan of this show. What are your memories in general?
Well, I remember everything about it. I even remember after the Mr. Rogers had finished apparently taping programs or doing programs, I would watch the trailing or the what do you call it, the credits at the end of the program to see when it was recorded, because at the bottom it would say 1976 or something like that. But I always looked to, wasn't there a Costa, the piano man that played
his
the piano?
His name was Johnny Costa.
Right. I always look for that. They still have their piano player.
Yes, we did. But Johnny played for almost the whole run of the show, except the last 5 years, Johnny became very ill and passed away.
Wow.
Then they had a protege of Johnny's to take over. And they used some of Johnny's intro, but then when Fred would come in the door, the current piano player would take over. So it's been there. We're back again. We're jumping back and forth. The wonder of television.
I'm letting you and Charlie have a conversation while I work on this over here.
Yes, we've been having a conversation. Yes. I don't know which way to face you, that way or this way.
One of the most interesting things.
Wait a minute, Charlie. Hold the mic and turn around this way.
But so interesting was the trolley.
Uh-huh.
And you know, it was quite a while before I actually realized that Mr. Rogers was operating a switch.
Yes.
And to make it move.
Like a model train, yes.
Yeah.
It was, he did it when you saw it in his home, his house. When it came in the castle, he was doing the puppets, of course. And one of the operators of the trolley over the years was Michael Keaton, the actor. His name was...
I remember him at what TV awards program. Was it in the Oscars?
It may have been.
He was up a candidate.
Well, that's right. That's right. This time he was up for Birdman.
Yes.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
And is there more to the story? Or
no.
You just remember that being on.
The trolley. That was always my favorite thing.
Uh-huh.
Is the trolley still in existence?
Yes.
In a museum?
Yes. There are two three places of a museum that has some of the artifacts. First of all, and for your listeners and for your viewers, every so often there's a viewer because it goes on and off.
You can keep going here.
There is in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, which is Fred's hometown.
Oh, Latrobe, yes.
At St. Vincent's College, there is it's about 5 years old. It's called the Fred Rogers Center. And they have the trolley there, the puppets. All of Fred's works that all of his writings, his sweaters. In fact, if you're driving past St. Vincent's College, it's also where the Steelers work out in the summer. You can stop by and see some of this. It's open to the public.
Well,
it's free.
I'll have to do that. Yeah.
It's St. Vincent's College, the Fred Rogers Center, and there's a building that was built in his honor, and there are classrooms there, and if you go to St. Vincent's and you're interested in child development or learning about children, you can get some credits for the Fred Rogers Center, too. So there's some credits to have, too. So the listeners and the viewers, if you're interested in finding more about the Fred Rogers Center, just go online and Google it. Then, in Pittsburgh, there is a museum called Heinz History Center.
Oh, is it Heinz Craft now or just still Heinz?
No, it's still Heinz, but it's about to be Heinz Craft, I think. But I think it'll always stay Heinz.
I would think.
Heinz in Pittsburgh because it started there.
Yeah.
At any rate, it's called Heinz History Center, and that's where the set is, where the Frit changed the shoes.
Really?
And the picture, and not all of it. It's elements of it are there. Then there is the tree and the castle. That's there, too.
Mr. X's.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you're ever in Pittsburgh, go to the Heinz History Center. You can see the set that was used those many years and still is being shown on television.
You know, I saw that in the documentary, and I thought, is that the real set?
Yes, it was. But it wasn't in the Heinz History Center at that point.
At that point.
It's just gone in within the last year. But the Heinz History Center's been there for about 10 years. It's the Heinz family, the ketchup family.
And
in case you don't know, the Heinz family has been very generous to Pittsburgh over the years.
Pittsburgh is a great place to live. What is your favorite part of Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh in general?
Oh, my favorite part. I think, I'm a theater fan, and my background is in theater, studying theater. And downtown Pittsburgh has revitalized itself by creating the cultural district. And they've taken some of the old big movie theaters and turned them into performance halls. Heinz Hall, was an old Lowe's Penn's movie theater. And that's what the Pittsburgh Symphony plays. And then there's Benetham Center, which is another Pittsburgh family. And then they built several theaters. And it's a wonderful, wonderful place to go, restaurants. So if you're ever in Pittsburgh again, try going to the Cultural Center because the ballet's there, the opera, the symphony, the touring shows. There's the Pittsburgh Public Theater. I think that's my favorite part of Pittsburgh.
You were a working actor when you came to Fred Rogers. Is that correct?
Yes, I was, yes.
What made you decide to stay and do this one character for now 40 years?
Because I loved it so much. It was very fulfilling. I not only did the McFeely character for those years, but I was also behind the scenes, too. And that's what I liked equally. I felt it was a complete package.
You were the PR guy.
I was PR, but before that, I was in charge of all of the props and costumes. I had to coordinate all of that. I had to help Fred behind the set. I had to get all of his scripts ready so he could paste them up behind the castle and circle them. That's interesting. When there was a King Friday and a, let's say, Queen Sarah puppet back-to-back, his indication was a circle for a male voice and a triangle for a female voice. He could just glance down, and he would change his voice that quickly. It was quite something to see him operate the puppets, read the script, because he could read it, and then pay attention to what the actors were saying in front of the camera. Fascinating.
How close was Fred Rogers, the man, to Mr. Rogers, the guy we saw on television?
Oh, very close, very close. His wife always said, what you see is what you get. And that's true. Fred spoke very softly, very slowly. In real life, he spoke a little quicker. Very, very bright man. Extremely bright. He spoke four languages. He loved French. He studied Hebrew because through going to seminary, and a new Greek, and there was another language I can't remember. I think he knew a little bit of the Romance languages, but he spoke French fluently, and he loved language, and I think that's why he wrote his script. He loved all of the taking a script and getting out some meaningful values to children.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was just thinking, you talk about writing the book and the documentary was done. What if somebody came to you, because you said Mr. McFeely is scripted, and I'm thinking of the Birdman here with Michael Keaton.
Uh-huh.
If somebody came to you with a Mr. McFeely script, Mr. McFeely the movie, would you do it?
If I were allowed, and if it were good.
Well, who owns the character?
Well, the Fred Rogers Company owns the name McFeely, because it was Fred's middle name and his grandfather's name, so I guess that is. Oh, so I'd have to get permission to do that. If I did the David Newell story, no one would know it, but I could do that and say I was the person who played Mr. McFeely. I guess that's a way around it. But I'm sure, if in fact it were a good script, I would probably be allowed to do it.
You know, it's interesting because when you talked about going to the flea market as Mr. McFeely, you know, to me, that's movie-esque. You know, because you're taking this character and putting it in a real situation. And with Mr. McFeely being a postman, I would think, boy, something to do with email and Mr. McFeely in a movie, there's something there.
Well, I guess there is, yes.
Somebody could write something out.
Oh, yes, yes.
It'd be very fascinating.
Well, you should try, Scott.
Well, would it be a comedy or would it be a drama?
I think it would have to be comedy with some serious overtones, maybe, because I don't know if it could be a drama, necessarily. But who knows?
We had talked last time you were here about Fred not necessarily liking... maybe I'm saying this wrong, but satire of his characters. What can Mr. McFeely do, and what can he not do?
You mean...
Can you portray him in a humorous way? I'm trying to think of a good example here. What can't he do? I know the last time you won't remember this, but I'll point out the example.
Yeah.
You said you were asked for a good charity to be a bartender.
Yes.
And you said Mr. McFeely cannot be a bartender.
Yeah, that's one that I think they shouldn't even ask. That's
right.
sort of something you would assume.
Right.
Even if I were allowed, which I wouldn't be, I wouldn't do that. I could see Mr. McFeely being, well, the documentary's another thing. That's the story of me, David Newell, really, who plays Mr. McFeely. You can't do the documentary without talking about Mr. McFeely. But that was sanctioned by the Fred Rogers Company, and they interviewed Fred's wife and a lot of my co-workers in it. And if, by the way, if your listeners are interested, you can just go to speedydeliverymovie.com, and you can get it that way.
And it's fantastic. I mean, well, I think Charlie saw it, too. Did you not see that, Charlie?
No, I haven't.
You haven't? Oh, well, you got to see it.
Yeah, Scott will lend you his copy.
I'll lend you my copy. It's a great documentary. Shows David and his relationship with Fred, and also what Mr. McFeely does. Is there ever a crowd that's too small, or do you get disappointed?
Yes, I think I would. I think everybody really would like to have a crowd that's decent.
You'll see it tonight during the parade.
You'll really be surprised.
Really?
At the crowd tonight. People put their chairs out days ahead of time.
Just to get a front row seat.
That's right.
And my goodness.
It goes on and on.
150,000, Charlie?
At really?
Least, yeah.
Something like that. You will be shocked.
The Labor Day parade in Pittsburgh, which is a bigger city than here, had only 70,000, and they had Vice President Biden there marching.
This parade, 35th year. There's something about it that everybody, it's the one time a year thing, and they come out. If you would drive down downtown Marion right now, you would see chairs for, what, 6 or 7 miles.
Oh, boy.
And, well, I'm glad they're having a good evening for it. I was worried because it was raining. We had a torrential rainstorm in Pittsburgh yesterday. You might have had one here a couple days earlier.
It never came, did it, Charlie?
No, it never,
because it got ugly outside.
We usually get your weather 2 days later.
That's
from
right.
Ohio. And I thought, oh, boy, well, at least it's raining. It's rained itself out, so it'll be nice. Well, it will be nice. So I hope everybody comes. Oh, and come to the meet and greet at 8 o'clock at the insurance.
Shamrock Insurance, which is right next to the main stage. You will be mobbed tonight without question.
And I hope you get writer's cramp.
Oh, I may.
It's going to be something. But to talk about it tomorrow on air will be fun.
I hope anybody who's listening to this or maybe seeing it that, we're doing it live, the radio, right?
Yeah, the television will air in a couple weeks.
Okay, so I'll be gone back to Pittsburgh by then. But
we'll send you a copy.
But the popcorn story.
Yes, we got to get back to that.
Since it's a popcorn parade, I think you were adjusting the television. I was telling Charlie, but Fred loved popcorn, and he had a microwave in our office. Every day there'd be a popcorn time, and you could smell it down the hall. That's one. But another time, Fred was on an airplane, and he was sitting on an aisle, and a woman came up to him and said, I just love your popcorn. And he said, well, thank you very much. She thought he was Orville Rickenbacker.
Redenbacher.
Redenbacher, yeah.
My goodness.
And he gets the biggest. This is, Fred, you're asking, what's he like off camera? He got the biggest kick out of there. You know, a lot of people might have been insulted. Fred thought that was the funniest thing that she, because towards the end, but of the, when the last couple of years of the programs, Fred's hair was getting grayer. They would touch it up a little bit to match it up with some of the other programs, but basically it was much grayer. But when they didn't do that, his hair was quite gray, like Orville's.
Orville's.
And he chuckled. He just said, thank you very much. He never said, disappointer that I'm not Orville. But that's my popcorn story.
Why did the show end in 2001? Days before September 11th, oddly enough.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Fred wanted to bring it to a close and create a library of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood programs. But what he wanted to do was to work online. This is back in 2001, and he was thinking that way. He was thinking that back then, working online and the computer and all of that was just the beginning, as TV was when he started. He was equating 2000 computers and online broadcasting with 1952 television, and he's right in a way. And we still are in the basement with online. You know, can you imagine what's going to be 10 years from now? It's going to be incredible.
It's amazing.
It's amazing what it is now. Last night, before I came up here, I had to drop packages off at the post office.
Oh, there you go.
It was really things. People ask, can we have your autograph? I get a lot of those letters. People find the address, and so I was putting things together, and they'd been piling up, so I said, I've got to get these. So anyhow, I didn't know what time the post office opened, so I put in Blahnox Post Office. That's where I live, near that area. And up comes the everything about that post office, including what time it opened. Mm-hmm. And, you know, otherwise you'd have to call. They wouldn't be there. It's incredible.
Would the Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers Neighborhood program survive in today's market?
I think it would, yes, with some reservations. It doesn't move as fast as some programs do now. I think children are used to animation a lot. We have a new program now called Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, which is all animated with some live action separating the two stories. But it's much different than the neighborhood, although for animation, it's much slower than most animated shows are. And I think that's in reference to Fred. Fred was always asked that, too. He said, you know, if I would take my program now, meaning 1999, 2000 and promote it to a network, I don't think I'd get on. He thought that. But the fact that it does work, if you, it works. Somehow it works and it shouldn't in some ways. Because children of that age, 2, 3, 4 years old, really gear into it. And I think given a chance and let them get used to it, I think, and in fact, they I've had a lot of remarks from parents who say, oh, we're now watching it online. Because PBS Kids has it online. So if the parents out there are interested, pbskids.org, it's now on Netflix. It just started on Netflix. There are Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood on Netflix, so you can do that. And there's also Amazon.com. There are 300 on Amazon.com. So it's still available.
How many were done in all?
If you would count, he started in Canada. If you would count Canadian programs and the black and white series we did before the color, I'd say, guesstimating, about 1,400.
1,400.
Yeah, wow. Something like that.
I want to run the schedule down again in this hour.
Okay.
We're going to be on the air today until 4 o'clock, and then we are going to be in the parade tonight. Everybody knows where the Popcorn Parade is here in Marion. Just go downtown, and you will see it. We are going to travel through downtown Marion, and then as soon as that's over, depending on what time it's over and what time we get there, we will be in front of Shamrock Insurance, which is right next to the main stage tonight until 9 o'clock. Mr. McFeely will be there. Get up and all, signing autographs. And
bring your cameras.
Bring your cameras. I was just about to say that. Get your selfies ready for tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then tomorrow morning, starting at 10 o'clock, we'll be back here at the station with some more fun with Mr. McFeely through tomorrow afternoon. And there's a lot of great giveaways and fun we're going to get into tomorrow. It's a lot of fun.
And what will we be riding in so they can look for that?
We are going to, it's going to be a float on the back pulled by a pickup truck. The pickup truck will have your logo on it.
You know, it'll say Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
And it will say WWGH on the side of the float with a safari balloon.
And you'll be on it, and Charlie will be on it, right?
Charlie will be on it.
With other personalities?
Terry will be there. Sean will be there. Marianne Michaels will be there. Satch, who's going to join us in the next Stylander. Satch Sullinger will be there.
Satch, who has, I just found this out, he has a son who plays professional basketball, right?
He does.
For the Boston Celtics, is that correct? So he can tell you more about that the next hour.
And spent many years as an educator.
Yes, he told me that.
So this will be an interesting conversation next hour.
Well, good. Yeah. So have we gone through an hour already?
We're about done. We've got about 6 minutes. Charlie, anything in this hour you want to
continue on with? As Speedy Delivery talks,
yes.
It's going through my mind all the programs. And one of the things that impressed me and caught my attention was the King talking about the boy was
the little
about
the prince
horse.
yes you saw that.
That struck me. That was how he was able to handle that.
That's a classic Mr. Rogers
that
neighborhood
was. Absolutely.
I can tell you a little bit more how that started.
Yeah, okay.
we had a whole week on Mr. Rogers talks about divorce, one of the most requested topics we had over the years from families. Was could you bridge this a little bit? All of our families have touched upon it in some way, you know, a relative or a parent or whatever. So it took Fred about 2 years to figure out how to do it. And we started it out with a program on Sunday evenings on public television for adults, talking about like a studio talk show. And the next Monday, the show went on for 5 days on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood talking about it. And the one thing that he wanted to impress on children is that if something happens in your family, like a divorce, it's not your fault. And he didn't make a lot of points. He wanted to make a few strong points, just enough to help. And I think he did. Again, though, you're asking about some of the other things. Sometimes you get letters. You were talking that first hour about letters.
Yes.
And we got letters saying that, why did you do that, Mr. Rogers? You know, my kids now, they think something's going to happen. But if nothing else, and that's regrettable that happened, but it gives you as a parent a chance to talk. Just sit down and talk with your children. And somebody once said, What's the most important thing you can do for your children? They've asked Fred that. They've asked me that. And Fred always said simply, listen. Listen to what your children are saying. Don't read the paper or watch television while they're telling you. Give them undivided attention. It shows that you care about what they're saying and the respect. And that is a little bit of Fred's philosophy that just seems so simple that it's simple.
Yeah.
You don't think about it. But that was Fred.
You know, we have about 6 minutes left, and this is a big topic to broach here in 6 minutes. But, of course, Fred did not get a chance to do his things with the internet because he passed away 2 years after the show ended.
Yeah.
What happened? I mean, we know he died from cancer, but it seems so quick and so sad.
I can tell you that in the fall of 2002, he was the Grand Marshal of the Rose Bowl Parade on New Year's Day 2003, and I think before that he said he is coming back to Pittsburgh. He was going to go to Florida for a rest. I've got to come back to Pittsburgh to have an operation. And that was the first time I heard about some, and I think maybe, I don't know, I'm not a doctor, and I'm not privy to all of what the doctors knew, but it apparently was growing faster than they thought. And he survived, I guess, about a month after the operation, and I think it just, whatever happens with cancer, stomach cancer, and it just seemed to happen. Yes, you're right, it happened so fast. You know, when New Year's Day he was in the Rose Bowl parade, and two months later he had passed away.
What was your last conversation with him like?
On the phone. I had called him, or he called me, to thank me for going to Houston for him. He was to go to Houston to work with a symphony, and I went down and did the bit with the symphony. They introduced a medley of Mr. Rogers' songs, and I came back, and he called me, said, thank you very much, and we talked, and I said, you know, Fred, I just sound tired. I'll just see you next week, and that was it. And it was, I was in charge of all the PR, and we knew that there was not much hope. And we got a call at 2:30 in the morning, and we sent out a press release because we wanted to say what we wanted to say. And within a minute, the phone started to ring, and it just was like the death of a president. It was more calls than we can handle. But it was quite a... just today, I was talking to someone, or was it last night, saying that her daughter was on her way to work when she heard on the radio in the car that Fred had passed away, and called her mother right away. And she said, I'll never forget that. That's how the mother found out.
And how old was he?
Boy, 75, 74, something like that. He would be in his 87 now, I guess. But Mrs. Rogers, his wife, is doing well. He has two boys, and he has three grandchildren, and all is doing well. And his wife is so active. In fact, at 87... one son lives in Florida. She drives down herself to Florida. She loves it. She loves driving. I have a hard enough time coming from Pittsburgh to Mary. but it was a sad. I really do miss Fred, and I miss so many things. But I miss his sense of humor. He had a wonderful sense of humor, and we always had. He'd always have some story to tell me, or I'd tell him, and he was a good friend and a good employer.
We know about the projects that he wanted to do. Do you ever think he would have done a reunion of the original show?
I think he may have, yes. I think he may have. In the way he wanted to do it, Yes, I think he would have. If nothing else, then just a sit-down and talking about it, showing various clips, maybe. That was probably how he would do it.
Is the divorce episode the one you remember the best?
I remember a lot of them. Divorce, yes, because I remember how Fred thought and thought and thought, how do we do this? You know, that's not easy.
Tough.
Very tough. I remember the superhero, our visit with Lou Ferrigno in Hollywood at Universal Studios. But I remember, and I think I told you last time, and are we coming up on
We got about a minute.
Well, I can continue after the break.
We will. Okay? We're going to continue on.
My favorite stories from the neighborhood. We'll start out with that.
That sounds good to me. Mr. McFeely's with us. We are so happy, and he's going to be with us in the Popcorn Festival Parade tonight. Charlie Evers is with us. He will be sticking around as well. Satch Sullinger will join us again, and we will continue on this September the 10th. Tomorrow, September the 11th, we will continue on as well. Remember, tonight we will be with Mr. McFeely downtown, right in front of Shamrock Insurance, near the main stage, right after the Popcorn Festival Parade, and up through 9 o'clock tonight. So stick with us here. We are streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com, and find us on Facebook by searching WWGH1071 FM, Marion, Ohio, for exclusive content.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP.